Rabbis, I have in front of me two svarim, the Sefer Chovetz Talmidim. There's two versions. I don't know how this happened exactly, but somehow the differences are mamish small, minute little things, but there are small differences. I'm not sure which is the authentic text and how a second text came out. The Sefer Chovetz Talmidim is not such an old Sefer. The Sefer has... it was written, I'm going to assume, in the early 1900s. It's my assumption, something in that vicinity. So the Sefer is around 100 years old. To have different texts, it's not ordinary, but they're pretty similar. So there's the old printing, which is the old Sefer which I have here. What we're up to is on page Kuf Chaf Beis, the new paragraph there, Kudvarim Ha'ele, like these words. And in the new printing, we're on page Kuf Dalet. And over there it starts Hein Batoira. It's just these two extra words, but that's basically what it is. Now, this Sefer, which is what we learn every Monday night, B'siyat Yishmaya at 9 o'clock, the Sefer written by the Rebbe. His name was Rav Kolonimus Kalman. Shapira was his last name, and he was known as the Piasetzner Rebbe. He was the enukel of the Rebbe Rebbe Elimelech. He was from a town called Piasetzna, but eventually ended up in Warsaw, and he became known as the Rebbe of the Warsaw Ghetto. He wasn't the only Rebbe that was in Warsaw. There was also many other Rebbes. Rebbe Menachem Zemba was also famous for being there and for being killed in the Warsaw Ghetto, as was the Piasetzna Rebbe wasn't killed in the ghetto. He was actually killed in Treblinka. But he was there throughout everything as they were liquidating the ghetto. What happened was Warsaw, there was what was known as the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising, which was in Warsaw. They actually revolted against the Germans, and for that reason, so the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, wanted to totally flatten Warsaw. There's practically nothing left in Warsaw. There's nothing to see when a person goes to Warsaw. There's the Beis Kvaris, which is quite a prestigious Beis Kvaris with a lot of Rosh Yeshivas and Rebbes and things like that. There's one shul in all of Warsaw. And that's because that was the stable where the Nazis kept their horses. So they left the shul intact. But aside from that, there's nothing. There's nothing else to see there. There's no ghetto. You can't even see the ghetto. It was totally, totally flattened because the Germans wanted no Zecher at all because of the uprising. They made a point of going all the way with this. So the Rebbe was there giving a lot of chizik to Yidden, and in general he was a person who always was very positive and optimistic, and you could see it in his works. This was what he considered his greatest work. He wrote other svarim. There's a continuation to the Sefer called Hachsharas Avrechim. This is called Chovetz Talmidim. Talmidim is like when you're younger. Avrechim is when you're older. And then there's B'nei Machshava Toiva. This is actually a trilogy. And then there's other svarim that he wrote. Numerous different svarim. But this was the Sefer that, if you could call it, like this was Kilo his baby. This was the Sefer that he held very precious. And he felt like he had special siyata d'shmaya when he wrote this Sefer. And we're nearing the end of the Sefer. We're in the 11th parak. There's a lot here. And the Sefer has, there's a lot of praise has been heaped on this Sefer. One thing is, for example, Rabbi Avram Shor, who's a Rav in Flatbush, said that it should be a choiv, should be an obligation of every parent and every Rebbe to read the Hakdama of the Sefer Chovetz Talmidim, at least the Hakdama, the introduction. It's such an important thing to read, an approach, an attitude of how to interact with someone you're trying to guide. He said it's that important they should do that. I mentioned maybe before, there's a very famous psychologist by the name of Pelkowitz, Rabbi Dr. David Pelkowitz, who is considered in the Frum world as the top authority in psychology today, Rabbi Dr. David Pelkowitz. And he is, and he has said, I spoke to him about it myself, that all of the tremendous wisdom and insight that he has gained from psychology, he says it's all here in the Sefer. And it's all, and the PSS never had absolutely no, formal education in anything secular, anything like that. And he said the brilliance that comes out of the Sefer, it's unbelievable. And there's someone named Rabbi Twersky, who's also famous Rabbi Abraham J. Tversky, who's famous also for all of the things that he wrote and said about. And he also said that everything that he got from this Sefer. There's so much here. There's so much depth. And I'm going to show you right now, there's another piece that he's bringing out the nuances of how a person works and his person's his conscious and his subconscious and the different levels and all that is he's saying it in his language, but there's so much brilliance and chachma that's here in the Sefer. After we finish learning the Sefer, Chovas Talmidim, those that would like to join us in the front, there's another Sefer which we're learning, which is a whole different type of thing. It's called the Pele Yoetz. The Pele Yoetz was written by Rabbi Eliezer Papo. Rabbi Eliezer Papo was a Sephardic Rav, and he lived in a small little town called Celesta in Bulgaria. He wanted to be left alone. He just wanted to be. He picked a small, teeny little vinkel, a little town where, like, you know, he didn't. There was no fanfare. There was no, you know, popularity. And there's not that many people. Even today, it's not so common to get to the tzion, to the kever of the Pele Yoetz. I've been there a few times, thanks to the Yeshiva Kedosha, because. You know, open the yeshiva and see the world. That's my motto. So I managed to get to Bulgaria. It's a fascinating thing. I've seen many, many different kvarim. Maybe someone here can correct me. I don't remember ever seeing a kever that says on the tzion, that if you daven at this kever, he guarantees that your tefillahs will be answered. Now, it's not an easy kever to get to. There's other things you have to go. The mikvah first, whatever it is, those of us that have been there, perhaps you remember, but that's pretty heavy that it's written in stone. You know what I'm saying? It's written in stone right there that it guarantees you're going to be answered. Now, personally, for me, when I go to a tzion or I go to a kever, I like to first know something about the person that I'm going to, so I feel like I connect, like you're connecting someone with the tzaddik. That's why before we went, I knew we were going to the Abarbanel. Those of us that made it to his kever, so I spent 6 months learning together with Daniel Shaffel. We've been learning Pirkei Avos with the Abarbanel. So that way when I go, I could feel like, you know, okay, I have something from the Abarbanel. I know it's the Abarbanel, but what does that mean? Now it like meant something to me. I learned his pirish, getting a flavor for his approach and everything, meant something. So I'm not saying that we're going to be going to the Pele Yoetz next year on the Europe trip. I'm just saying that if you want to join us to learn a little bit of Pele Yoetz in the front, it's a beautiful sefer. Actually becoming more and more popular. They're starting to print more and more things. It's amazing how, you know, a few hundred years after he died, he's still printing Svarim. So there's new Svarim coming out from the Pele Yoetz all the time. My father-in-law has been buying me the Haggadah on the Pele Yoetz and I get Pele Yoetz al Torah and the Tefillahs of the Pele Yoetz and all these things. Anyway, so we're going to start doing some of that. And the way the Pele Yoetz is written, just so you should know, is that it goes al Seder al-Aleph Beis. It's in Yonim. He'll choose an Inyan. Speak about Eretz Yisrael. It's a piece on Eretz Yisrael. It's a beautiful piece about Eretz Yisrael. I'll speak about Yerushalayim. So usually every week we try to pick another piece and just see what he speaks about. We try to have it something to do with something that we're, you know, that either we discussed in Chavos Talmidim or something relevant to the time that we're that's approaching. If it's Purim, we did something on Purim. But that's the way he wrote his Sefer. It's in the Seder of the Aleph Beis. Anyway, let's get back here to Chavos Talmidim. What we're learning, the Sefer Chavos Talmidim. We're speaking about here, the last thing we spoke about what's the point of being a chassid. What's the point of being a chassid? And people misunderstand what it means to be a chassid. People think, and there was a lot of, the truth is, there was a lot of miscommunication. And there was a time when chassidus was very, very much misunderstood. And when we speak about chassidus, there's two different types of chassidus. My friends, there's one chassidus which just means being pious. As a matter of fact, you would say the most famous misnaged in the world was probably the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon was misnaged to the Baal Shem Tov, to the Baal HaTanya, to the others that were there at the time. And his Talmidim are the ones that signed on a cherem against the Hasidim. And so that's really where the misnagdim started, was with the Vilna Gaon. Now the Vilna Gaon was known as Rabbi Eliyahu HaChassid. He was known as a Chassid. So Chassid, the title Chassid, doesn't necessarily mean that you have, that you go the Chassidish, wear Chassidish clothing, or you daven Nusach Sfar. That's not what a Chassid means. Chassid means a pious person. And the Vilna Gaon was extremely, extremely pious. He was a Chassid. Now, there are people that got the title Chassidim. And that's a type of movement called Chassidus. Now, that movement was very much misunderstood. As a matter of fact, There were those from the Chassidim. I'm not perfect at history, but if I remember correctly, it was the Baal HaTanya, who wanted to meet with the Vilna Gaon. He wanted to meet and he wanted to talk to the Vilna Gaon. And so let's talk about this so I can explain to you what we're doing. And it didn't happen. They didn't allow certain people that were there in the peripheral, didn't allow the Baal HaTanya in to speak to the Vilna Gaon. And that's when the whole machlokes happened. Now, Baruch Hashem, to me, what was considered to be historic, maybe that's just in my own mind, was when Baron Leib Steinman, together with the Ger Rebbe, went on a trip together to America. It was years ago. I can't remember exactly how many years ago. 15 years ago, more? Around 15 years ago. The Gadol Hador in the Litvisha world, together with the biggest, the Rebbe with the most Chassidus, went together, hand in hand, arm in arm. We're all in this together. And basically, the machloikas is pretty much over. There's very, very few real misnagdim left. And most of them are cranky people. But no, it's like, it's over. It's really over. You know, it's like, the war's over. We're done with that. And Baruch Hashem, that is a simen that that it was all Hashem Shemayim. Why it had to happen that way, I can't tell you. But I heard from Rav Nachman Bulman, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, that whenever you have machlokes Hashem Shemayim, you'll see that it'll come full circle. I'll give you another example when that happened. That happened in Volozhin. There was a machlokes in Volozhin. The yeshiva Volozhin, there was two Rosh Yeshivas, and it just didn't go well together. It was the Netziv and the Beis Halevi. They were two totally different personalities, to the point that there was a machlokes and there had to be a split. And there was a split. And the Beis Halevi was told to leave Volozhin. But it wasn't like he wasn't like kicked out. There was a din Torah. They decided that the Netziv is the one who Be'etzem, the Netziv was from the Volozhin family. The Beis Halevi was much more dynamic. So you go with the person that's the more popular Rosh Yeshiva, or do you go with the Rosh Yeshiva whose family started the yeshiva? Who do you go with? So they chose the Netziv. The Beis Halevi was out. Now, The interesting thing was that the Beis Halevi's son, Reb Chaim Brisker, ended up marrying a grandchild of the Netziv, and therefore became Rosh Hashiva of Volozhin. So they became Mechutanim. Understand the Machlekes? Mechutanim. So what happened? Because it wasn't a Machlekes where this was about, that each one's looking for their own ego because I'm not getting enough cover. It was a Machlekes L'Shem Shemayim. And it comes full circle. And the same thing, in my understanding, happened with the machlokes between the Chassidim and the Misnagdim, which we now call Litvish. It was machlokes L'Shem Shemayim. It came full circle. We're all okay. Here we are in a Litvish yeshiva learning Chassidish Sfarim. In the Chassidish yeshiva is the learning Reb Chaim's. And everyone's pretty much okay with everyone else. Hakoponim. So we're speaking about what is Chassidus about. So people didn't understand it. Back in the day, the Piasetzna was still in the time when there was much more fierce hisnagdus to Chassidus. So people don't understand Chassidus. People think Chassidus is means. And it's important for us to understand that this is what Chassidus really meant to be. Chassidus is meant to be that we don't take not one iota, not one second away from your learning Gemara, not one second away from anything that you've been doing in your daily schedule. However, even Bachrim that are not Chassidim, they end up having downtime. What are you doing during your downtime? Chassidus is there to fill in the gaps. That's all we're there to do. We're there to give a little bit of inspiration. That's why when a person is not learning, so that it should be a time of dveikus, of connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's all we're coming to do. We're not coming to take away anything from your learning. And he says, I'll prove it to you. Look at how many Chassidus Bachrim are learning. Look how much Torah there is in the Chassidus world. That's what we're coming to do. That's what Chassidus is about. There was never a movement. To lessen the chashivos of Talmud Torah. That wasn't what Chassidus was about. People might have misunderstood it that way. People might have thought that's what it was. And therefore, there was a lot of pushback. Like, you can't do that. You can't take Torah out of its, out of its position as Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam, but that's not what they wanted to do. That's what the Rebbe is telling us. That's what really Chassidus was meant to do. It was meant to bring out and just to create more connectivity when a person is not doing it. Okay, so now he speaks about what's the reason why a person is going to leave Torah. He says the reason a person leaves Torah is because if a person doesn't have the connection with Torah, They haven't established the right, the proper connection. So therefore, therefore, when other things either pique your interest or it gets difficult, so then they end up leaving Torah. And now he says, and we're going to start over here in page Kuf Dal in the new printing. Hein b'Torah yeshnan kol hatikvus hatoyvus. Says the Rebbe, Hein b'Torah yeshnan kol hatikvus hatoyvus af hagufonios. In Torah, you have all the tikvus, anything you could hope for, anything you could want, any of the good things you could want. Afagufnius, even if it's just something that's materialistic, something that has to do with your guf, with your body, even something physical. Avaloy mishvila not the hoige af kosherba. But that's not the reason why you're connected to Torah. That's not the reason why you're learning Torah. Af imbidaiticha rak mishvila not the kosher. Now listen carefully to the nuances. It would be great if you had a sefer in front of you. It's much easier. There are. We have lots of svarim. If anyone wants, you can even have their own and write it and keep it. But if not, you can just listen. I'll try to emphasize. Even if in your mind, you think that's the only reason you're learning Torah. You think you're learning Torah because it's going to help you somehow in this world. Something physical. Something material. You think that that Torah is going to get you somewhere. And it will, by the way. It will. But even if you think that's the reason you're doing it, it's not. The foundation, the yesoid of a person's outlook and his hope for this, that Torah is going to get him somewhere, is ahavascha v'iskashrus nafshecha b'Torahi. It really comes because in your nefesh, in your heart, you have a love for Torah and you have a connection to Torah. Asher tislabesh v'moichecha v'hisgore es daitecha l'toivas hatoira shetira barav toiv gam gufnius. It's nislabesh, which means it manifests itself in your mind. V'hisgore es daitecha, and it's captivating your thoughts. L'toivas hatoira, that you should see the good in toira, gam gufnius. I'll explain to you, he's saying something very deep here, I think, as follows. People have a tendency, in general, to do something like, for example, like to find that like they found like a cool Rebbe. A Rebbe's really cool. I've heard people like say that. Now, there's nothing halachically or even in any type of Yiddish realm that's like considered good to be cool. You get it to Shemayim. Cool is not one of the factors that's going to get you into Gan Eden or not. Like, you're really cool, we'll give you an extra seat. Right, so what is it about? We want your Rebbe to be cool. My Rebbe is so cool. You've heard people say that, right? It's because a person is looking for something that he can relate to in this world. You have nothing to do with Olam Haba, nothing to do with Shemayim. But I'm looking for the good, and I'm looking for something that's going to draw me in, that I'm going to like enjoy this in a way that's totally Olam Hazedik. Some people like to put on their wall Leonardo DiCaprio. Other people like to put on their wall Reb Shlomo Freifeld. So he's cool. Reb Shlomo was so cool. If you ask me, he was cool. He was a cool Rebbe. Some people, the question, but it's all about what you think is cool. That's not Olam Haba, it's Olam Hazeh. But why is a person see his Rebbe as being cool? Or his Rav as being cool? Or anyone that in any way represents Torah? Because you're trying to connect. You want to connect. And sometimes we can only do it through the Gashmis. I'm not there yet. So I do it through that. I remember when I was a young boy in high school. I was in the younger grades. And there was this older kid in the school. And it was a very complicated school that I was in high school. I was in a school that was shayach to a particular way of life, and that way of life wasn't really continuing in America. They were German descent, but there weren't that many Germans left in the Heights. So they brought in a lot of other people. I was one of them. And it was like a mixed school, and they were trying to... Now, Baruch Hashem, the school's doing great, but at the time, it was really a very interesting group of people. And there was one boy who was like... He was kind of like the rebel. He didn't end up making it through high school, and he didn't end up making it in general. I think he came back, Baruch Hashem, I'm pretty sure. But he was going through a really rough time. He was like the cool guy. He was the guy who was always busy doing, you know, chin-ups and push-ups and busy with his physique, and he was busy making trouble and all that different stuff. And anyway, so I remember this. We're in the Beis Medrash, and he sits down next to Mr. Frumi. There's a guy, Mr. Frumi. His name is Yehuda. I can't remember his last name right now. His name was Yehuda. And he sits down next to Mr. Frumi, and he puts his hand on the table. He goes, come on, let's have an arm wrestle. Now, Mr. Frumi's sitting there, he's learning. And he must have heard that Mr. Frumi's a pretty strong guy, right? But and he's learning. He's like, you know, I don't have time for this. And he's like, I'm not leaving until you arm wrestle. And he's sitting there, and he's like waiting there, right? And there's like a whole crowd around, because this guy makes a lot of noise. And we're sitting there. And he's like, and he's trying to learn, and you can't learn. There's so many people standing around. He's got his hand over there like this, right? And he's waiting. Let's go, come on, let's go. And the guy, you ready? Okay, Viter. And he goes like, I can't believe it. He just like in a second, just like that. I thought that was so cool. I mean, he was so cool. I said, I want him to marry my sister. This guy was like, cool, he's Frumi, stark. He was so strong. I was like, it was unbelievable. But that, there's nothing that doesn't in any way represent anything that has shaychus to the Eibishter. But when we're younger and we're still trying to connect, so that's the way we do it. There was a person by the name of Uri Zohar, Mamash Tzadik of a Yid. Uri Zohar is a Tzadik. And he was a person who, he put out many, many movies. He was considered the Israeli Woody Allen. What does that mean? He was a producer, he was an actor, he was on radio, he was the everything. He was like the, you know, the huge star here in Eretz Yisrael. He became Frum, and he used all his money to buy back the rights for all of his movies, so no one should be able to watch his movies, because they weren't, you know, movies that he was proud of. And he's today, mamish, a poor man to the point where people that are close to me told me it could be he doesn't even have beds, and he sleeps on the floor. Mamish, he's ani shabaniim, and he's a happy person. He's well-adjusted, happy, friendly, used all his money just to buy back his movies. And now he speaks, he has arachim, seminars, and he's one of the biggest makarvim of people in Eretz Yisrael today. And he writes the following thing. He somehow had this conversation with this chassid. I don't know if he ever met him again, a random chassid. And the guy said something that mamish drove him crazy to the point that he ended up becoming frum because of it. And he was suffering with the following dilemma. His dilemma was, he lived in a beautiful house on the beach, and he was having wild parties, and he was living it up. And now he realizes the truth is, I got to give all this up, and I have to go now start sitting down and learning about my heritage, and learning about the halachas and the way I'm supposed to live my life, and all this is going to have to go down the drain. So Uri Zohar said the following thing. He said, I asked Hashem, Borei Olam, I'm asking you please, give me all the hanah, all the pleasure, all the enjoyment that I had out there, give it to me here in the Gemara. Let me have it here in the Gemara. Give it to me here. That's what he asked Hashem. And he said, Hashem gave it to me. Now, why was he asking for that? He was asking that because he wants to like Torah. He wants to learn Torah. It's coming from something in his nefesh that is telling you, I want to connect with this. I'm trying to connect with this. He's not saying, because I want to party. I'll party here, party there. Party's a party. That wasn't the point. The point was because something was driving him to get, I want my Rebbe to be cool because I want to be able to say, I love being in yeshiva. I love being a part of this. It's all being driven from something inside of you that wants you to connect. So sure, on the outside, there's something which we're going to call loy lishma. You don't get up to Shemayim and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to say, you know, if you're cooler, so then you're better. Not at all. There's nothing to do with that. It's Shaloy Lishma. But it's coming from, it's being driven and motivated by a Lishma. So he says the following thing. He says, Tzadikim Gidoilim Asher Gam Es Nafsham Gam Es Gufam Kitchu V'Latoy Avodis Hashem Masurim Heim B'Nafsham Gam B'Daitam. Tzadikim Gidoilim are more than us. If you go over to someone like Reb Chaim Kanievsky and you say to him, Reb Chaim, you are so cool, he's not going to appreciate, I mean, he's not going to understand it, but he's not going to appreciate it either. He's not, what are you saying? That's not a compliment. That means nothing to me. Nothing. Because with him, it's not just his nefesh, it's his guf also. He's cool olishma. If it's not Torah, if it's not a mitzvah, it means nothing to me. He's not interested in being cool. Because there, by them, rak b'shvil ahavosam la Torah v'avoyda yilmedu v'yavdu. They learn, they daven purely lishma. There's nothing else in it. We're maybe not there yet. So we're going to use other vehicles to get ourselves there. The tzaddikim gedolim, by them it's kuloi lishma. V'ata bachor, sho'id b'das moyach gufecha. But you bachor, that you still have the das of your moyach in your guf. You know yourself and you're thinking about what's better for you. You're trying to make it good work for the zich. Lachain, gam avas nafshecha pnima, asher l'toyu avodes Hashem, the ava that's inside, deep buried inside of you. So there it comes out in more something that I need. I need to be, I can't learn with this, like, greasy, you know, yeshiva guy who's carrying around, like, he's got his pocket protector and he's carrying around his bag. I can't do it. It's just not going to work for me. I need someone that I can, like, feel like I can, you know, talk to, relate to. But you, the mind, you want to sit and learn with him. So that's, if that's what you need in order to be able to make it happen. Okay, l'chein gam avas nafshecha pnima shel haTorah v'avodas Hashem b'moichecha machshavos v'deis atzmocha yislabish lirois ba mylos v'tikvos hatoivos l'cha. You want to see mylos, you want to see tikvos toivos, you want to see like the, he's the cool young man who not only does he learn hard but he plays hard, he's gishmak, he's fast. I want to be that young man. So that's a person, but he's looking for something where I can connect to Godless. I want to connect to Sheifas. I want to connect to Raymond. I want something that I can connect to right now and where I'm holding. V'gam me'asheloi lishma shelcha ha'lishna milubeshes. But it's all really coming from something which I need to be able to connect. I need to, so my sheloi lishma, the fact that I'm looking for things that are anything other than pure, unadulterated Torah, but it's really driven from Torah. The Efsher, Romzu Chachamenu Zechonel Mevracha B'zeh. Maybe the Chachamim made a remez, a hint to this, and they said, in the Gemara in Pesachim, Lo'ilom Yasoik Adam B'Torah Mitzvahis, Afal Pi Sheloi Lishma. A person learns Torah and Mitzvahis, even if it's Sheloi Lishma. Shemitoich Sheloi Lishma Balishma. What does that mean? He explains, what does it mean, Mitoich Sheloi Lishma? Tevas Ba. The word ba comes, it's koyah shel alishma. Mitoich sheloi lishma ba lishma means, in the sheloi lishma is a lishma. The lishma's there. The lishma's in there. Ki ilo yakosav ba. Be'eze sheloi lishma yasek. Which type of sheloi lishma should you have? Be'eze shagama lishma ba ima betamon ba. I'll give you an example, a difference between the two different types of sheloi lishma. I have in front of me a very, very fancy Chovetz Talmidim, which is bought by one of my Talmidim of Hungarian descent. It's beautiful leather, which very hard to find this color and type of leather. Spent a lot of money in order to buy this point, and I really appreciate it and I enjoy it very much. So it's very beautiful. It's very nice, right? I could learn from this old, you know, with the, you know, with the binding already, and I'm sure that Reb Chaim Kanievsky would be learning from this type. He doesn't have leather bound svar. He doesn't. So why do I have leather bounce for? Because you're gonna, it's Shane, it's nice, you need to sit down, nice Gemara, a nice safer, it makes you, you know, I have even a leather, you know, one of these. Now, there's a Shiloh Lishma here. There is. But the Shiloh Lishma comes because I want to enjoy the safer. I want to enjoy the safer, and it's bringing me closer to the safer. That's where it's coming from. But you all have heard like the joke about the lady that walks into this farm store and says, you know, I need 5 feet of blue. Right? Because what goes with the decor in the house, right? Give me 5 feet of blue to put in my husband's farm shop. So there's no lishma in that at all, right? Why did she want the blue svarim? Because it goes well with the drapes, or, you know, with the couches, whatever it is. There's no... So you say, well, mitzvah shelo lishma ba lishma. No, it's got to be that what's driving your shelo lishma is lishma. Why does a person want a nice gemara? He wants a nice gemara because he wants to enjoy it better. So I'll give you an example, and I have to apologize that doing this after some of you bought gemaras. Most of you bought gemaras. But you could buy different gemaras. You could buy the gemara that's like the thinnest, smallest gemara you could find. Doesn't necessarily have a rush in the back. Doesn't necessarily have the big bolded rashis. Doesn't necessarily have anything. But it's the cheapest gemara around. We could buy yourself like the deluxe Oiz V'Hadar or whatever other type of gemara that you like that's got every single thing you could possibly imagine. You could get your gemara to the Bachur Yeshiva. Every gemara he had his gemara leather bound. In psychedelic colors. You remember him? Psychedelic colors, yeah, his gemara. He finished 18 mesechtas when he was in yeshiva. When he was in this yeshiva, 18 mesechtas he finished. Every gemara he got, he had it leather bound. What for? Because let's get excited. Let's do this. It's shelo lishma. But let's start putting some of our simcha into our learning. Let's make this the geshmak that we have. And that's what he could do. Okay, let's do one more paragraph here. Hein gam yesh gam lehepach. We also have the opposite. Yesh ish shemidame bedaitoi sheloimed lishma. Umirame hu es atzmoi. The people that they think they're learning lishma and they're fooling themselves. They're tricking themselves. V'yesoid limudoi machshava pnimis la'atzmohi. And deep down inside, he's only thinking about himself. He might, in his conscious, be thinking, this is for Hashem, I'm doing this for Hashem. But really, deep down, it's only for himself. Vizehu asimin. He's going to tell you the simin. But there's such a thing. They had the Kotzker, had in Kotzki, there was what he called the Ketzelas Masmid. There was the Masmid of the cat. So what was the Masmid of the cat? The Kotzkerov was Kulay Emes. He only wanted truth. And he was margish in someone that his learning was not lishma. He said, this is the Ketzel's Masmid. What does that mean, the cat's Masmid? He said, because this guy, whenever he heard something rustling in the trees next to him, he'd start learning, because he thought maybe it was his mother-in-law. So whenever the cat came around, that's when he was learning. He said, he's the cat's Masmid. Whenever the cat's around, he all of a sudden opens the safer and starts learning, so everyone should think that he's a real Masmid. And he doesn't even know. When I was a bacha, I remember there was a boy, he was like the frummy. He was like super frummy, not the guy from high school, a different guy. He was a super frummy, and he had long shmoneseres, long, like with grimaces, you know, those very, he was in, during his shmoneseres. One time I was in one of the shtiblach, and he was not in shmonesere. He was like spacing it out, and then all of a sudden he saw me. I started going like this, and he's back to his, the whole thing was just a show. You know, everyone's got to be, you know, you got to be someone somehow. So you could either be someone by being good at basketball. You could be someone by being, you know, being popular. You could be funny. Some people will be someone, but I'm going to be the frummy. That's all about me. It's numero uno. I'm just taking care of myself. I don't care about God at all. It's just, that's a way to be. And but I want to tell you something. Nowadays, it's a way to get rich also. You're really good at learning. Marry a good shver, and you're set. You don't have to work. You know what I'm saying? You go to yeshiva. Everything's great. You can get beautiful. You can get rich. You can get everything you want. You got a maid. You can retire at 22. And you're done. You build your big house. Everything. I don't have to think about the Bari Oil and Bichlau. And there's people like that. I'm not going to say a lot, but it's so cultural already to sit and learn. So how does a person know if he's learning because of the right reasons or the wrong reasons? And it doesn't mean if you're good. There's a lot of guys that are good and they don't think about Hashem. Simen. Vizehu ha-simen. Ish bilishma merume. A person that's he's not really lishma. Even underneath, it's not lishma. Shebepnimiusoy machshava l'tzorach atzmai. Really deep down, he's just thinking about himself. Kasher beemes techdal negiusoy. When it really goes away, and there's no longer the negius. Yira sheloya aviyach. He's not going to gain anything anymore. He already married you know, or already, or whatever, Shalom Bayis is already there. He doesn't need it anymore. He's not going to gain anymore. Or from a different business, he's going to get more money. Drop the whole thing. Someone that's doing it for real. Maybe he's not doing it as much. Maybe he's doing it as well. But he's doing it because he really wants to do it. Even on the outside, there's a lot of shaloi lishma, but it's all coming from a desire to get close. He won't stop, even if his tikva hagufnius doesn't have. Whether or not he's going to have other negias, yishar kosher la Torah, but Yosef leiskasher tamid Yosef. Be the real thing, the real deal. If someone is deep down is saying, I want to create a connection, and maybe I could do it through many different ways, and maybe there's going to be a lot of shaloi lishma that's going to come out, but if it's coming from sincerity, so then it's real and it will stay forever. Beis Hashem will continue.